Good morning, everyone. Heading into the financial weeds a little bit this morning. You know, some of the biggest players in the financial world are far away from that sexy world of hedge funds we talk about a lot.
That's
on this
a sexy
program.
World?
Yeah, oh, yeah. High-flying wealth managers. Even the seemingly untouchable behemoth investment banks like Goldman Sachs and J.P. Morgan. You know, some of the biggest players in the bond and equities markets are good old-fashioned pension funds.
Yeah, absolutely. They hold massive amount. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, especially public worker pension funds, which in many cases have grown in power even as the traditional private pension world has shrunk really in the last 10 to 15 years. The biggest public pension fund in the U.S., CalPERS, that's California Public Employees Retirement System, worth more than $200 billion. Well, early this morning, our partner, the New York Times, began reporting the story of a new investigation by the Securities and Exchange Commission into the risks CalPERS allegedly took leading up to the financial crisis. It's nearly without precedent for the SEC to do this kind of investigation, and CalPERS problems could affect millions of Americans, pensioners or not. Louise Story, Wall Street and Finance reporter for the New York Times, broke the story, and she's here to explain. Good morning, Louise.
Good morning.
So, CalPERS, how important is this, and how unusual a target for the SEC?
You know, CalPERS is like the Goldman Sachs of pension funds. It's the biggest pension fund there is. It's the most prestigious. They're often very much on their high horse lecturing public companies about governance. They really set the standard. And so if the SEC finds disclosure problems here, it really would send, you know, kind of waves through the whole pension industry. The challenge is that the SEC usually goes after companies or hedge funds, for instance, or banks, but they don't have jurisdiction over pension funds. And so the way they would come at this case and what they're looking to do is to say, well, CalPERS is guaranteed by the state of California. So
right.
If CalPERS doesn't have enough money, they got to go to California to get more money. And California issues debt. And the SEC oversees the municipal and state debt market. So the SEC could say there are things that CalPERS did or didn't disclose or did or didn't do that those municipal or state bondholders would have wanted to know.
Well, let's get the chain of logic here. The CalPERS fund managers, I suppose, took possibly excessive risks leading up to the financial crisis, risks that they did not adequately disclose, which possibly motivated the state of California to issue debt that it shouldn't have or didn't need to or wasn't fully sort of transparent in the eyes of the SEC. And that's where this investigation is likely to go.
That is one line of thought. There's a few others. And from what we understand, they're looking at a lot of different lines. Another line has to do with internal and external estimates that the pension fund had, and these internal estimates were worse, but they weren't put into the bond disclosures to these people who were investing in California debt. Another is a continuation of pay-to-play investigations that's gone on and whether...
And that's like investment companies basically paying CalPERS to like take some of their money and put it into the bank.
And whether bondholders should have been told that some of the pension money got steered towards that. And so there's all these different lines, but what we understand is that there is just a really big push at the SEC to find something here as a bit of an example setting situation.
Is it possible that Californians and California public employees are waking up this morning with the news that essentially their pension money was used to buy some of these wacky credit default swaps and weird sorts of securities that caused, you know, Lehman Brothers to basically explode?
Well, California pensioners have been facing kind of a harsh reality for the past couple years because during the worst of the financial crisis, the pension lost nearly a quarter of its value.
Ouch.
But that wasn't so much really from credit default swaps as it was from real estate and alternative investments. CalPERS was one of the pension funds out there really preaching the value of investing in hedge funds and private equity and so on before trouble hit, and they invested a lot in real estate.
They were preaching the idea of making money off of it, but there's a possibility that the SEC is using CalPERS as sort of their message case, that this is a warning to pension funds around the country, maybe not even just for public workers, that they're going to be taking a closer look at their investment strategies?
Yes, that is what we understand is the goal here is to say, you know, you may kind of have followed all accounting rules. Pensions have different accounting rules. But if there's disclosures that the bondholders need to know, even though they're 3 degrees removed, you've got to get it out there. And, you know, for private pension funds within companies, where those pensions stand also affect shareholders in those companies. Because,
exactly.
again, if there's a shortfall, sometimes you have to have the company put more money in.
No, and you saw that with Enron. The problem with Enron is that stock decline, people's pensions just sort of went out the window. Are there rules to the pension world? I mean, we think of it as sort of the conservative sorts of investment world. But really, do pension funds have any requirement to be more conservative than, say, the most high-flying investment banker?
They do have rules to be more conservative. However, in the last decade, they really jazzed up their portfolios. And alternative investments, that category, which includes hedge funds and private equity, became really hot. And so the reason when we talk about hedge funds on this program, it's relevant to regular people is because a lot of pension funds are investors in these hedge funds.
Hedge funds. Mm-hmm. We're going to shift gears here for a moment. Facebook, we talked about earlier the week that it's relationship in a new deal with Goldman Sachs possibly values the company at $50 billion. Great news for Facebook. Now there's possibly the SEC is taking a look at Facebook's not only deal with Goldman, but its whole approach to going public and whether it's delaying that deliberately, whether it's sort of holding back and concealing information from the public. What's going on here?
Yeah, the SEC has had a very busy week, and the issue with Facebook is a common one with hot technology companies, and that is as they become more popular, their employees sell shares to other people, and even though they're not public companies, they have these shares kind of circulating in a private way.
Kind of an aftermarket.
Right, aftermarket. It's like a black market almost, and the SEC says, oh, that's all fine and good until you hit 499 of those people. And then you've got to go public. You've got to start releasing broad financial information to protect investors. And what's happened is they're reaching that limit with this new investment from Goldman Sachs. Goldman was going to pool money from lots of different investors into a special purpose vehicle to kind of, it may have looked like it was only one investor, but it was lots of investors. And so that's raised some questions. And so
they're sort of playing the game of reducing this number lower than 500, even though it may actually involve a lot more people who have a piece of Facebook.
That was the theory. And so when that came out this week, it caused a lot of pushback, a lot of flurried phone calls with the SEC and Facebook. And so now Facebook came out yesterday and said, yes, we're going to cross that 500 magical area this year. And so we will go public in 2012.
Well, at the very least, Facebook may have lost a few financial friends this week and all the sort of
don't like.
Louise Story, Wall Street and Finance reporter for our partner, The New York Times. Thanks, Louise.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at the New Yorker. So join us every week on the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.